When We Disagree is a show about arguments, how we have them, why we have them, and their impact on our relationships and ourselves. I'm interested in the metaphors we use to talk about disagreements. Of course, there's the ever-popular metaphor of an argument as a fight, or a boxing match, or a war. But I'm also interested in a metaphor that's a little more abstract, but just as important. Arguments are something we get into. I'm sorry I got into it with you last night, for example. The metaphor is a container, a trap, a boxing ring, a tunnel, a car, or a coffin. Some structure, something with walls, floor, and a roof. Something that limits our movement, narrows what we can see and hear, and confines us in a space. Something we have to get out of or escape from. And when we talk about arguments as something we get into, we're emphasizing movement and change as well. We're saying that we're leaving our typically open, free way of being and communicating for something closed and restrained. I'm Michael Lee, professor of communication and director of the Civility Initiative at the College of Charleston. Our guest on When We Disagree is Andrew Hsu, president of the College of Charleston. Andrew, tell us an argument story.
All right, Mike. I tell you the truth, I'm actually having a bit of trouble remembering all the conflicts that I've had, because as you can imagine, as a higher education administrator, if I remember all the conflict situations I've had throughout my career, I would have gone insane already. So, but I do want to mention one, but before I go into that one example that I just remembered just now, to me, there are two types of conflicts, right? So you could have a conflict that is very rational, and the other type of conflicts are purely emotional. Now, there might be conflicts that are a bit of both and a little bit in between, but I think to me, at least the conflicts that I've gotten myself into are mostly in those kind of two categories. The conflict that I remembered, the reason I remembered it so clearly, this was from 20 years ago, was probably because of the intensity of the reaction of the person who got into a conflict with me. So at the time, I was an associate dean for research at an engineering school. And I thought it would be a great idea to form a renewable energy research center on that university campus. And of course, in order to have a renewable energy center, you have to have all kinds of expertise, right? Anywhere from political, legal, to chemistry, to engineering, and so forth. So I tried to build a coalition. And of course, one of the person I naturally go to is our chemistry department chair. And he happens to be an expert in hydrogen chemistry. And I thought, you know, renewable energy, a lot of hydrogen, it would make a lot of sense. So I went to him and had a conversation. He said, yeah, it's a good idea. And I said, okay, after I had enough faculty members on campus expressing interest, I went back and just sit in my office and came up with a draft of a proposal. And my thinking was, okay, this is just the first draft. I'm going to send the 12-ish faculty members that were interested and get feedback. And of course, in that proposal, I talked about global warming and things like that. And all of a sudden, you know, really almost that same night, late at night, I received a blistering email message, extremely angry, saying something about I'm trying to, impose my political view on everybody else, and that was from our chemistry faculty. And I was thinking, I don't really have a political agenda, and why was this person so angry? And then I realized that there are some of these political issues that are really not rational, and they're more emotional oftentimes. And global warming is one of the issues that you either believe it or you don't believe it. And to the ones who do not believe it, it's just all propaganda. It's, even though you could make it into a rational discussion, but for someone who is somehow emotionally attached to this issue, they're not going to accept any or engage in any rational discussion. So what I did to try to resolve that issue, of course, is I went to his office and I basically sat down and said, there's no political agenda. I'm just trying to have a draft that I thought would make sense and tell me what you think we should say to make this a stronger proposal and not as controversial. To make a long story short, in the end, we did establish a renewable energy center. And no, I was never able to bring that faculty along because he just disagreed fundamentally with a lot of the premises of needing renewable energy. So this is why I brought up at the beginning, there are two types of conflicts, right? And to me, at least, as an engineer, I'm used to dealing with the rational conflicts. As engineers, we review data, we look at facts, and we still argue about what the conclusion is. And oftentimes, as engineers, we don't even agree, even though we're looking at the same set of facts and data. But my conclusion is that when an argument or disagreement or conflict is emotional, examples of emotional conflicts, for example, identity or religion, and whenever those kind of things are involved, there's no rational discussion. Everything is emotional. And when emotional conflicts happen, the only thing that you can try to do is really to get to know each other at the personal level, but still you may just have to agree to disagree and part your ways that way. So I guess that was sort of the conflict situation that I remembered from 20 years ago, but I truly don't remember many of them.
I'm interested in this faculty member, this intransigent faculty member's reasons, because surely this is a person who has thought about this issue, has come to a conclusion. This person probably thinks that they're being rational.
Right. So I'm sure, as a chemist, he probably sees global warming differently and thinks that it simply is just a natural fluctuation in global temperature, and any discussion of human being induced global warming is just political propaganda. I'm sure in his mind he has every reason to believe what he believes, but to me, I do believe that to many people, global warming is an emotional issue and it's a political issue, and therefore it's emotional.
What sort of arguments or reasons did this faculty member give you in the email, other than the accusation that you were imposing your political viewpoint on other people?
Yeah, no, there was no other explanation, simply the fact that he doesn't want to be part of something that could be a political propaganda.
Uh-huh. And why do you think this one, I mean, you mentioned you've been in higher education administration for quite some time. Conflict is a fact of life. Why does this one stick with you so much?
So I guess, one, it was really towards the beginning of my administrative career. I was a newly appointed associate dean, and this was one of the first major initiatives, major collaborative initiatives I started on the campus, and I was inexperienced, so to me that came as a major shock. I didn't know people could react to something like that in that manner, but I think obviously I've learned that lesson, and I became more careful when I talked about things to make sure that I don't touch the hot buttons that could trigger emotional responses. But also, I guess once I became more experienced as an administrator, I'm more used to having conflicts or arguments, and I try to forget as much as possible, because I do think that, you know, if you dwell upon the conflicts in the past, that could prevent you from moving forward. And to me, really what happened in the past is less important, because you can't really change the past. But it's the present and the future that is more important. That's why I tell myself, I guess, intentionally or consciously to forget about conflicts once it's served its function, or what the word?
You try to have a short memory,
right,
about it.
Right.
I'm curious about this, the reason it stuck with you, in the sense that you felt like you were a new administrator, you were trying to pacify anybody who has an objection, and you were shocked that this was an objection, and you were shocked at the strength or tenacity,
right,
of the objection.
Yeah, I guess two things surprised me because I was so new at this. One, it surprised me that the reaction could be so fierce, so strong. Mm. And the second thing that surprised me was almost like there is no compromise, right? So I always thought that, you know, if I don't have a political agenda, we should always be able to just work out some language that we can all agree to. But I guess I didn't realize when someone is emotional, that becomes impossible.
Did it in any way challenge your faith in the ability of two reasonable minds to find a suitable compromise?
I certainly did. I think, if you look at the current political atmosphere in the country, we see our country becoming increasingly polarized. And certainly, I think both sides are reasonable people, and both sides think that they're rational, but yet because we allowed things to develop into all conflicts are emotional conflicts, and therefore it just seems like we can't compromise anymore.
The terms, and to return back to the framework you started with, rational arguments and emotional arguments, it can be such a political thicket, because on one level, it seems plainly obvious what a rational argument looks like and what an emotional argument looks like. But on the other hand, to be told that you're arguing emotionally from someone who thinks that they're rational can feel very much like an insult.
Right.
And who are you to tell me that I'm emotional,
right,
and you're rational?
Right.
But then also, confusingly, sometimes it's really important to be emotionally involved in your arguments. So, for instance, global warming activists, mm-hmm, would think that the climate is at stake, the planet is at stake, our humanity is at stake. So, of course, we're not going to treat this just like a numbers game and argue rationally. We need to be emotionally invested in the outcome,
right,
of our disputes. So how do you separate all that out? When is it okay to be emotional? When is it okay to be rational in these kinds of arguments?
Well, to me, I think, you know, as an engineer, I don't mean to sound cold, but I think emotional arguments tend to get us nowhere. You can never win an emotional argument if both sides are emotional. So I think the only way to handle, as I mentioned earlier, the only way to handle emotional arguments really is people have to get to know each other on a personal level and think less as a group. And also, I do think that as much as possible, we need to figure out how to move emotional arguments towards more rational arguments, because without doing that, I just don't think we will get anywhere with our discussions.
Andrew Hsu, thank you so much for being on When We Disagree.
Thank you. Great to be here.
When We Disagree is recorded at the College of Charleston with creator and host Michael Lee. Recording and sound engineering by Jesse Kunz and Lance Laidlaw. Reach out to us at whenwedisagree@gmail.com.